morning, Christ Church. How about this, huh? Oh, it's unbelievable. Now, I was going to tell you at the end, but I'm going to tell you now. Of all of you who are Facebook savvy, you know, blow that place up. Blow Facebook up today, all right? From everything you see, take pictures and post them online. Let's make Christ Church trending, all right? Yeah, because we are here to honor and praise our Lord together. What an incredible gift God has given to us, and it's been possible because of you. And I am tremendously grateful. You know, the Lord has used you in so many ways to make this possible. You know, I want to start today by thanking some folks that I think you just simply need to see. Number one is I want to invite my wife and Rosemary, Taylor, and Hunter to come up here for just a moment, please. Hurry, don't tarry, honey. There you go. That's right. I need you to know something, that it would have been incredibly difficult or impossible to have the time and the energy and the opportunity to do what has taken over the last 24 years to get from Silverbrook Elementary School to a new building on Glen Eagles, and then, of course, to expand that building and then bring in six trailers, you know, the church in the trailer park, as we were affectionately known, and then to purchase this land and then to build this building, if it weren't for my family. You know, there have been many times that I've been present but not present. Many times that I have, I believe, failed as a husband, failed as a father, simply because I have been so occupied in getting us to this place. And so I just need you to know that if it weren't for these wonderful people that are my family, it would not have happened other than the Lord's great blessing. And so I just want you to know. And so I want to thank you all for your understanding and mostly for your love and your passion for the Lord and for Christ Church as well. So thanks again. Thank you very much. Love you too. Staff that's in the building today, would you please stand right here wherever you are? Deborah and Erica and Brian, my wife, and I think Tamara over there, and who else is here? Janaea and Dana. Well, I want you to see my team, and I know this is only a part of them. You know, the rest of the team is, Chris is in Guatemala with nearly 30 of our youth, and then there's those teaching in the Sunday school today, and just all around the building who have made this possible. You know, I have the best team in the world. You know, I am the most blessed pastor I know of, because God has surrounded me with people that are smarter than I am, you know, that are more talented than I am, who are incredibly giving and amazingly loving. You know, while they're standing, I simply want to, and I know this is a bit dangerous, but I want to say something about three people, and first being Deborah. Deborah, I simply, she's amazing. I just have to say it that way. Deborah Merrill. She is God's gift, I will tell you. She is incredibly talented. She is passionate. She is detailed-oriented. you know, and I wouldn't know a detail if it bit me in the toe. And so it's Deborah that kept everything on track. I know where we're going. I just have no idea how to get there. It's Deborah that makes that happen. And I am truly grateful to her. The other person is Pastor Monica. Monica is serving communion today in our children's ministry. And so I just need to say the thank you to her. And the other person that I need to say thank you is the second longest member on our staff. And he and I have gone back a long time. And I am truly grateful for Brian Green. Brian, you just are a gift of God to me. And I thank you so much for everything that you do. And I love you. All right, let's see. Who else here? If you helped us pack to get from Glen Eagles to Ox Road, would you just stand? Just stand for a moment. Don't clap yet. Just stand. All right? All right. Now, if you helped us physically move from Glen Eagles to Ox Road, stand up. All right? All right. Now, if you helped unpack or set up here at on Ox Road, stand up. All right? Now, if you brought food or snacks or anything like that, would you please stand up? All right. If you helped in any way, shape, or form, or even gave, you know, to make sure that this place happened, would you please stand up? All right? If you were a part of that, I want you to look around right now. You know, this would not be possible without you. You know, you stepped up to serve where you were called. You stepped out of your comfort zone and gave financially through your tithes of your income, your prayers, your presence, your service, and the Lord has honored your commitment. You know, I will say this, over the past 24 years, it has been quite a ride. You know, but it is absolutely clear that one thing is true. Wherever the Lord is, the best is yet to come. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Okay. Now, I want to invite our district superintendent, Jeff Mickle, who would like to greet you on behalf of the district and our annual conference, and he will even lead us in a time of prayer together. Jeff, thank you so much for being with us. I am truly grateful for your leadership, for the way the Holy Spirit works in you, for the privilege to be a partner with you in ministry. I am truly grateful.
Thank you, John, and welcome to the Promised Land. What a great day. Bishop Young Jin Cho and all the churches in the Alexandria District of the United Methodist Church, I want to thank each of you and pray God's richest blessing on you and your ministry as you embark in this new place on even greater things in His name. And I want to thank your pastor, John Spate, who has taken this church from a couple dozen people meeting in an elementary school 24 years ago to now becoming the largest church in the Alexandria District. Thank you, John. And as John has already said, this is just the beginning. The Lord has great things in store for what's going to happen in this place. And so I would like to offer a prayer to the Lord for all that He will do here. Lord, we are so thankful and grateful for the abundance of your blessings and the richness brought us to this holy place. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit to anoint this place with a rich sense of your presence and mission. We thank you for all who will be invited here, summoned here, beckoned here, for the hearts that will be warmed, the minds that will be changed, the lives that will be saved. We thank you for the word that will be preached, the baptisms that will be celebrated, the lives that will be strengthened with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. for weddings that will be celebrated, and services of death and resurrection that will give thanks for all that you do through our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the prayers that will be offered, the praises that will be sung, the lessons that will be taught, the missions that will be accomplished in this holy place. Pour out your blessing, Lord. Raise up a strong and bold witness for generations to come. Here at Christ Church, we ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you very, very much. All right. Last person to speak will be Tim Beatty. Tim has come back from Ohio, and I've asked him to greet us on behalf of his family. Thank you.
Well, I told John, asked me this morning if I wanted to speak, and I said, I really don't want to speak. And he said, I think you do. I said, this kind of seems familiar. So first of all, I greatly miss all of you guys. You have a very special place in my heart. God is doing some amazing things in my life, and so I'm excited and feel really called to what I was called to do, to be involved with the family business. And I could not be happier with the way this turned out. Deborah, oh my goodness, you did a phenomenal job. Every little detail is just perfect. And so this is so exciting to be back. My favorite memory, though, is sitting in Trailer 5. And that, by the way, that's the last time we're going to have to say something like that.
Yes, that is. Isn't that wonderful?
Sitting in Trailer 5. No longer have to say sitting in Trailer 5. And I was explaining to John and to Deborah, I said, I don't think it's going to be a reality that we're going to be able to move to the Promised Land. We didn't have anybody that was interested in buying Glen Eagles. We couldn't find a bank that would finance it, and we couldn't get a design of the building that we could afford to get a loan for. And I said, there is absolutely no way that this is going to happen unless the Lord provides a way. And we made a decision in that moment together, the three of us, that we were going to commit to praying. And we're going to ask all of you to come together. And if you remember all those years, all those months where we gathered at the front of this, at the front of the worship center, and we prayed that God would provide a way. And sure enough, it didn't take long. A buyer came, and a bank was able to finance, and we found a design that we could afford. And there was no doubt in our mind that this reality was because God wanted it to be. And so I am just thrilled, and I know that this is absolutely what God desired. Yeah, so thank you for all your hard work and all of your commitment, and I'm glad to see all of you, and I hope to be able to say hello as well. So grace and peace to all of you.
God bless. Thanks. All right, pull out the Christ Church notes. How about that? Pull those out. We have to start with blanks, right? I mean, you can't open a new building without blanks in the in your sermon notes. So go ahead and find a pen or a pencil on the seat back in front of you. There are several things I'm going to want you to fill in. And so you'll want to find those pens and get them out and get ready to write some things down as we have the very first teaching of God's Word here in this building in the Promised Land. You know, we're going to celebrate the Lord's presence with us today, His overwhelming presence, as we come around the table to celebrate His loving grace and communion for the very first time on our Promised Land and in our new church home. And today what I'm going to do, listen, I'm going to tell you two quick stories from the Old Testament, and then I'm going to wrap them together to make them two stories that I hope that you will never forget. And more than that, listen to this, I hope that they're going to be two foundational stories for us here at Christ Church in our new church home. Now, if you were with us last week, I was talking about how the waiting rooms of life, you know, and there's so often a delay between the time that you dream God's dream or truly believe that God is calling you to do something and then the time it takes to the Lord to bring it to fruition. You know what I'm talking about. Those waiting rooms, those delay periods, that delay phase of life, you know? Well, when I was talking about that, I told you there were four things that Scripture tells us not to do, four things that the Scripture tells us not to do. If we do them, it simply prolongs the delay. It makes the waiting in the waiting rooms even longer. So, what are they? Here they are. Go ahead and we'll start. Ready? Let's say them. Don't fear, don't fret, don't faint, and don't forget. Let's do it again. Don't fear, don't fret, don't faint, and don't forget. All right. Story number one. Here it is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. On your outline, it's on the screen as well. At the Lord's command, the whole community of Israel moved from place to place. Eventually, they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there for the people to drink. So once more, the people complained against Moses. Give us water to drink, they demanded. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us, our children, and our livestock with thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what should I do with these people? You know, they're ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, walk out in front of the people and take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water of the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to join you. I will stand before you on the rock at Mount Sinai, strike the rock, and water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink. So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. Okay, so look. After 400 years of slavery in Egypt, 400 years, that's a long time, 400 years of slavery in Egypt, the Israelites, they were finally free. They were on their way to the promised land. God had parted the Red Sea. They were safely now on the other side. But the people, well, they got thirsty and they began to complain. And in their thirst, listen, they were ready to kill Moses. They were ready to kill Moses and go back to Egypt. But God told Moses, look, just take your staff and strike the rock and water will come spewing out. So Moses, what did he do? He hit the rock as God told him to, and out of the rock in that dry, dusty, bone-dry desert, out comes shooting water, water of life. And water gushed out. So in that moment, God had provided water where there was no water. He provided hope where there was no hope. God provided life where there was no life. What was he teaching the kids of the children of Israel is that he is the source of all our life. God is the source of our life. He is our provider, and we shall never forget it. In fact, in order for you to remember this story, I want you to write this in, and that is this. Write water from the rock. Write water from the rock in your notes. Water from the rock. In fact, let's say it together. Ready? Water from the rock. One more time. Water from the rock. There you go. Don't forget that. Water from the rock. Here's story number two. For 40 years, God has led. For 40 years, God had provided. And now, guess what? The children of Israel were standing on the banks of the Jordan River. They were ready to cross. And the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they went first and they stepped into the current of the Jordan River. And eventually, it began to cut off. The current stopped. It began to run dry. And the people all crossed over. Here's the scripture from Joshua chapter 4. Here it says, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now, choose 12 men, one from each tribe, and tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you're going to camp tonight. We will use these stones to, read this, to build a memorial. Just read it out loud. Build a memorial. There it is. They're going to use the stones to build a memorial. Now keep on going here, Joshua 20. Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, listen, in the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? And you can tell them. This is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. Look at verse 24. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and that you might honor the Lord your God forever. All right. So, God's word for us. So when the people of the children of Israelites, when the Israelites finally crossed over on the Jordan River to the promised land, after a 40-year wait, what did Joshua do? But tell them, take 12 stones from the river and set up, pile them up as a memorial so that they would always remember. Listen to that. Always remember that it was only by God's grace that they made it to the promised land. It was only by God's grace that they made it to the promised land. What did those stones remind them of? That it was only by God's grace that they made it to the promised land. Why is that important? I'll tell you why it's important, folks. It's important because we have short memories. We have short memories. We do. I mean, can you give me a witness on that? You know, we've got short memories. You know, here's the deal. I heard this story this week. There was an elderly couple who had begun to forget some things. So they decided they were going to go to the doctor to find out if there was anything wrong. And the doctor said, you know, a lot of times when you have just too much on your mind and you begin to get a little age on you, you begin to forget things. So just take some notes, the doctor said. So they thanked the doctor and they went on home. Later that evening, they were seated together watching TV, and the husband got up and started to leave the room. And the wife said, where are you going? And he said, I'm going in the kitchen. I want to get a bowl of ice cream. And she said, well, don't you think you ought to write that down? You're probably going to forget it by the time you get to the kitchen. Oh, no, I'm not going to forget it. She said, but I want a bowl of ice cream, too. And I think you ought to write that down. He said, no, honey, I've got it. And she said, but wait a minute. I want strawberries on my ice cream. You need to write that down. Honey, I've got it, okay? But wait a minute. I want whipped cream on top of the strawberries. You better write it down. Well, he was getting irritated by this time, and he said, listen, honey, I've got it, okay? I've got it. So he leaves and goes in the kitchen. 20 minutes later, he comes out, hands her a plate of bacon and eggs, and then she looks at it for a minute and says, I knew you were going to screw this up. You forgot my toast. Let me tell you, we got short memories, people. We have short memories. And here's the thing. You know, God knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that the Israelites, as soon as they crossed that river, as soon as they got over into the promised land, as soon as they started feeling at home on their new piece of property, the property that God had promised their ancestors long, 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 long ago, that they were going to forget. They were going to forget that God had been the one who provided when there was no way. That God was the one who removed the roadblocks. That God was the one when there was nothing to drink in a bone-dry desert. That out of rock, out of nothingness, came life-giving water. That they were going to forget that. That they were going to forget that when they were complaining about the manna, God sent some quail overhead and they just fell out of the sky. They had quail to eat. You know, they were going to forget how God had defeated their enemies, how God had brought it all about. And he said, look, I don't want these people to forget. I want you to pile up 12 stones right there near the river so that when anybody wants to know, when your children ask, how in the world did we get here, that those stones would remind that God sent water out of a rock and he provided every step of the way. So here's what I want you to do to remember this. I want you to write down these words, rocks to remember, rocks to remember. Write them in, rocks to remember. Rocks to remember. Let's say it together. Rocks to remember. Again, rocks to remember. Very important. So the first one was what? Water from the rock, right? And then rocks to remember. Okay, now, our story. Here's our story. Well, the key is, how are we going to remember? How are we going to remember that for the last 11 years we seem to be wandering in the wilderness and there didn't seem to be a way out? How are we going to remember that God provided during the times when it was a bone dry desert that we were living in, and as Tim made it very clear, there was no bank willing to talk with us, there was no way that we could design a building that would hold us, that we could afford, that there was no buyer for our building over at Glen Eagles? How in the world are we going to remember that when we were in the wilderness, that God still provided, and then in His perfect timing, He made a way where there was no way. He brought life where there was no life. He gave us hope where there was no hope, that God had provided the way. How was that going to happen? How are we going to remember it? Well, here's how it happens, ladies and gentlemen, for us right here. And it is this. It is that fountain that's right out there in front of this building. And here's what I want you to know about that. It's our story. It's our story. Not only is it the story of God providing for the Israelites where there was water out of the rock, not only is it the stones that were piled up at the edge of the Jordan River so that everybody may know how it is that we got here, that it was only by God's grace, that was only by the hand of the Lord, that it was only by the provision of God that we're here. We see it right there. But our story isn't complete until I tell you this, and here it is. Matter of fact, it was a story in the Gospel of John chapter 4. Jesus had just been baptized by John in the Jordan River, and now he was headed back north. He was headed up toward the Sea of Galilee, and he was in a hot, dusty place. And it was the middle of the day, and he was thirsty. So he came across this town, and in this town there was a well. And when he got to the well, he found, surprisingly, in the middle of the day, there was a Samaritan woman there at the well drawing some water. And he said to her this, in John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Jesus answered and said, "Everyone who drinks this water," talking about the water in the well there, "will get thirsty again. But no one who drinks the water that I give will ever be thirsty again. The water I give is like a flowing fountain that gives what? Eternal life. That gives eternal life." Right there, folks, listen to me. That fountain not only reminds you that God provided a way where there was no way, it also provides the remembrance that it was only by God's grace and God's hand and God's mercy that we are here to begin with. But it also reminds us of the living water of Jesus Christ. It reminds us that He is the one who transforms our lives. He is the one who gives us hope when there is no hope. He's the one who provides us this living water when you and I have been in a spiritual, dusty, dry bone place. God, when we drink the living water of Jesus Christ, God provides us life, and life that never ends. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, when you drive up to this church, there's no way you can even get in this building without passing that fountain. To remember that God provided where there was no water, He provided where there was no life. God provided. It reminds us that it was not by our hand that we're here, but by God's grace that we're here. It reminds us of the living water of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, this room is full, and I know I can see you. So I can see some of you out there. These lights are awfully bright, but I can see some of you out there, and I can see those who have had a life-changing experience right here. For those who came in spiritually dry and have discovered over the past 24 years the living water of Jesus Christ, you have been changed. You have been transformed by the grace of God. In fact, if there are anybody in this room who found Christ here, simply raise your hand. If you have found Christ at Christ Church, raise your hand. If you became a Christian here, you can look around and you can see the people who have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and the life-giving water that never runs dry. dry. And so here's what I want you to remember right here, write it down, is the living water of Jesus Christ. The living water of Jesus Christ. It's the living water of Jesus Christ. So let's put our story together. Ready? Let's put the story together. Go ahead and put it on the screen. We're going to say it together. Ready? Water from the rock. Rocks to remember, and the living water of Jesus Christ. That's our story, ladies and gentlemen. We're not here because we did it. We're here because God is faithful. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that your grace has poured out upon us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For when there was no way, you made a way. When there was no hope, you brought hope. You have made it possible for us to be in this place, and we are truly grateful. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided water from the rock, that when there was no way, water shot up for us. We're grateful, Lord, that the fountain reminds us of your provision in our life, that your provision, that it was only by your most gracious, powerful hand that we are here. Thank you, Lord, so much. And we are grateful for the living water of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, for everyone in this room who have yet to discover the freeing and saving grace of our Lord, that today their hearts may be open to inviting you in. For in that dry, dusty, spiritual desert of life, when you wonder, is this all there is? When it just seems so empty, when we have so much, but it seems so empty, we know, Lord, that you give us the water where we will never be thirsty again. Thank you, God. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' matchless name, and all God's people say,